Hello and welcome back.
You're listening to TBR, the podcast where we both drink and spill the tea on books from your TBR lists.
My name is Alicia.
And I'm Liv.
And this week we will be reviewing What Light by Jay Asher.
It's a very Christmassy book.
It's such a Christmassy book.
Just before we get started, I just want to apologise. I'm on the end of a cold at the moment.
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping my distance.
Yeah, look, fair. Mm-hmm. Just want to apologise if I sound a little crusty.
I might sound crusty next week because I'm pretty sure this is just like a little flu thing that's going around our town.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are getting sick, but not like coronavirus sick.
No, I think it's just because in Australia, our restrictions have loosened a little bit. And so obviously little things are just going to get to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what would have been the flu season in winter, but we missed it. So now it's just like the afterthought of it.
It's like when I first moved into college, just being in close proximity to everyone after not seeing anyone for a bit, like all of us got sick at the same time.
Yes. Anyway, so now that's out of the way.
Now that we've addressed my gross ass voice.
Yes. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the end of the episode because that is where we will be announcing the giveaway winner.
Yes, it's been up for a week now. You might have already seen the winner announced on TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
But for the benefit of the podcast, it's going to also be announced at the end of this episode.
Exactly. So we are very excited about that and we hope you are too.
Yes. So this week, we are not drinking tea.
Controversial, but we are not.
We are not TBR this week.
No.
We're
hot chocolate TBR.
Yeah.
This is because hot chocolate is a classic drink to drink. And I know Americans and people who celebrate Christmas in the winter, they drink hot cocoa. In Australia, we kind of do too. We really want to get into the festive vibe.
I mean, yeah. Like, I love a good hot chocolate, but also it's like, it's currently 27 degrees here, Celsius. And it's just quite hot to be drinking a hot chocolate.
Yes. I mean, we are inside.
I don't know.
It's fine, though. How are you finding it? You've got a little decoration on yours.
I have a whole situation going on. I'm drinking hot chocolate with a peppermint candy cane stuck in it. Because it's kind of a thing in What Light. Like, the main character drinks a lot of peppermint mochas. Except I wasn't going to have coffee because we're recording overnight.
Yes.
I mean, it's fine. I can't really taste the peppermint, though.
I don't think it's fully dissolved yet.
No, it's not. But to be fair, it was like a pretty chunky candy cane.
Yeah, it was a hefty gal.
And now it's just like the end little loop.
Ah, lovely.
Either way, it's nice and I'm almost finished it. But you're vegan.
I am.
So you had to do a little bit of substituting.
I did. I had oat milk mixed with some cocoa powder. But that is not the most exciting thing about my drink. It is what accompanied my drink. Because last week, and I think even the week before, I mentioned how I've never had, like, gingerbread.
Yeah.
Except for, like, I think I've had gingerbread lattes or something. But I love the taste of it. Mm. And so, just before, I think, like, 20 minutes ago, Liv was like, I have something to show you. And she told me to close my eyes, and when I opened them, she had made me, like, gingerbread cookies.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was about time that you finally tried them. They're, like, my favourite. I have them all year round.
They're delicious. I can't believe I haven't had them until now.
They're so good.
They are so good. And they're so cute in their little gingerbread mold. I love it. So I dipped them in my hot chocolate, and I had them, and they're delicious.
I feel like that's a little bit questionable, but sure.
Well, my mug that I'm using at the moment is actually a gingerbread mug, so I felt like it was very fitting, actually.
True, we went full out. I've got, like, a little Santa mug. I think we'll probably post, like, a little picky on Instagram of us with our mugs or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've got, like, a little Santa mug, and you've got a gingerbread mug.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Big W. You really came through with the goods.
Yes, it is the hip Tajay. And you're also wearing nice little jewellery because it is the festive season and Christmas is actually next week.
It is. And on that note, we will actually be taking 1 week break. We usually post Tuesdays if possible. So next Tuesday, there will be no episode.
Yes.
Because we just want to spend some time with our families. Christmas is all about family and stuff.
Absolutely.
And whilst we love the podcast.
And seeing each other.
Yes, it also takes up quite a bit of our time, which is fine. We enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's hard to balance, I guess, in conjunction with family, especially over Christmas.
Yeah, I know we sound like goddesses behind these microphones, but we're actually...
Even my crusty cold voice.
Yeah. We're very mortal. We actually are people and we're students and we're just trying to make everyone happy.
Yes. So we will be taking 1 week break and then the first episode of the New Year's, I believe that falls on a January 6th.
Maybe. Yeah.
We're going to be doing a Q&A.
We are.
So send us in your questions. We'll try to get through all of them.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be exactly book related too. Like we've gotten some questions that are more like personal and we actually love reflecting on it.
Yes. Like you can ask us
how we met.
Yeah. Like literally anything, what we're studying, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to just be bookish. We kind of wanted to do it just so you guys get more of an opportunity to get to know us, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Because I know that we talk about books and stuff a lot and like our preferences and everything, but a few of you guys have asked some really nice personal questions. And when we're reading them, we're like, that's right. I didn't even know that about each other. So that's definitely a way to go.
Yes. So you can finally contact us on TikTok. Email, again, that's always open. We're super good at replying to our emails.
Yes.
And yeah, send us some questions and I mean, it might end up being like a 3-hour long episode, but we're here for you guys. We're going to answer all of them.
Yes, absolutely all of them. We are so excited.
Yes. So that being said, let's just dive into it.
Let's.
So this book is very centered around Christmas.
Yes.
A little bit of context is about a girl called Sierra whose family owns a Christmas tree farm.
Yes, and she grew up there.
Straight up. Very Christmassy.
Very. But we love it.
We love this.
Straight up, we see that this girl called Rachel is complaining about this time of year, like this festive season.
Yes, I don't think it's an issue per se with the season itself. It's more that the main character, Sierra, every year for Christmas, she goes and stays and works at her family's Christmas tree farm in California.
Yes, and at the moment, they're in Oregon.
Yes, so Rachel's kind of upset because she doesn't get to spend Christmas with Sierra.
Yes, I would be upset too if I couldn't spend Christmas with my friends.
I thought you could say with you.
I would be sad too, but we live very close to each other, so I'm sure we'll see each other at some point. Rachel and Sierra then go up to the auditorium to find their other best friend, Elizabeth, because they are the spicy trio.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm.
And Sierra's kind of got this little monologue situation going on in her head at the moment. And we find out that her parents actually met on that exact Christmas tree farm and they fell in love, etc., etc., etc.
Very cute.
Straight up from the start, we know this is a sappy book.
Yes.
And I was like, this book is going to reenact her parents.
Oh, I was just thinking about those coming home movies where she's like, I've got to help my uncle on the ranch.
Oh, I do see where you're going with that.
My parents told me that I was on my phone too much. And then he's like, and then there's that cowboy. And he's throwing the rope at me. And I'm like, tie me up.
I don't think there's going to be any spice ratings for this one.
That's exactly what happened in Hannah Montana, by the way.
I haven't seen Hannah Montana.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
You get the best.
I mean, I know the song. I used to actually, this is really kind of weird.
I'm ready.
As a kid, it wasn't even that young. It was like
12?
Yeah, maybe. I had a Hannah Montana boogie board.
Oh my. Is that what everybody else calls it? A boogie board?
I think so.
It's like a miniature surfboard. It's like a body surfing board.
A body board?
A body board. I think that's what everybody else calls it. I think we say boogie board.
Do you mean we, and just you and I, or do you mean Australia?
Australians, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so I had a big old one with Hannah Montana on the front, despite never having seen Hannah Montana.
That's fair. It's all right.
So's Hannah.
Not going to judge you too much for it. So's Miley. Anyways.
Bad luck.
And we find out that Sierra's parents are actually really stressed because this may be the last year that they go to do this whole Christmas farm thing.
Yes, I think it's like, there's some issues with finances or something like that.
Yeah, it's not as popular as before or people are getting plastic trees from Target. Mm. We don't know. But they are struggling and they're worried that this isn't going to be worth it to do it every year from now on. Yes.
Sorry, another sidebar. This year is the first year that I can remember that I've had a real Christmas tree.
You do?
I do.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. It was super exciting. It
smells nice.
It does. It smells very Christmassy, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it was a real maneuver. I drive a Honda Jazz, so it's like a pretty small car.
Yeah.
And the person's like, so how are you getting this home? And I went with my younger sister and we're like, okay, can we leave it here and have like someone with the truck pick it up later and bring it over to the house? And they're like, well, what kind of car do you drive? And I was like, oh, I drive a Honda Jazz. And they're like, oh, we can fit it in. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, and we had to, like, put down all the seats in the car. And my sister was, like, on the floor in the back seat.
Oh, my gosh.
As this tree was, like, half covering my... It was so dangerous to drive home. But, like, oh, tell you what, it was a real maneuver.
I know. And then you picked me up afterwards and I was
true,
like...
True, and I had, like, little pine needles yeah. everywhere.
I was like, excuse you.
Rude.
Wow. Oh, goodness. You could have gotten Caleb to come help you.
Oh, I tell you what. Mm. I wish... There is a rather attractive man who works at the place I got the tree.
Let me know which tree farm you're at.
It's not even a farm. It's literally just like a plant nursery.
Let me know which nursery. Imagine if he listens to our podcast.
Oh my God, that would be embarrassing. He'd be like, oh, it's the girl who couldn't work out how to get a Christmas tree in the Honda Jazz.
Oh gosh. Oh,
anyway,
goodness.
If you're listening, blonde-haired guy from my local nursery.
Hello.
I'm in love with you.
Yeah. I'm in love with you and I haven't even met
we
you.
We should have a Christmas romance.
You should. I'll be Heather, but I don't have a Devon.
Anyways, putting aside my Christmas love story, Sierra's, yeah, she's a bit sad because she's like, oh, it might be the last year at my Christmas tree farm. And obviously she's been visiting there for, like, ages.
Yeah, and Rachel's like, I'm not that sad because that means you'll be here for the next years of our lives.
To be honest, I don't really like Rachel. I feel like every book we review, I have someone I don't like.
Yeah, and it's Rachel, because she's whiny and she's selfish.
I feel like she is a little bit. Like, it's always just, you're going away? Oh my God, that's going to be so bad for me.
Yeah, exactly. She's a dramatic gal.
She is.
Yes. But anyways, they start talking about dating, and she's like, what if you have a little Christmas tree farm romance? And Sierra's like, there's no way I'm doing that. That's so stupid because then we have to do long distance, not getting attached to anyone. No way.
Exactly. And she's also like, but there are some good looking guys at my Christmas tree lot.
Yeah.
Because I think like a bunch of high school guys come and volunteer or at least work there during the Christmas season. I would love that.
Yeah, same.
Picture it. Lots of hot chocolates as you just like look out your house window.
True.
And, like, fit high school guys, assuming you're in high school as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, assuming that we're also
not
in
a really
school.
Creepy way.
No.
High school me, this would have been my dream.
Same.
Looking out the window and just seeing these fit guys just, like, weightlifting trees.
Yeah.
As ooh. They, like, suck on candy canes.
True.
You know how, like...
I want to suck on their candy cane.
You know how farm boys have, like, that wheat?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing, like,
equivalent.
A little candy cane.
Oh, true. Mine would have a little gingerbread man just, like, popping out of his mouth. That's Liv and I's ideal men. It's just men with, like, food between their teeth, apparently. But anyways.
Not in a gross way, though.
No. We also find out that Sierra has a best friend at the California Christmas tree area.
Yes.
And her name is Heather.
Yes, and they're super close.
They are super close. So I guess she has, like, two worlds, like Hannah Montana.
Sierra is Hannah Montana.
She is.
So I guess like this little meeting between Elizabeth, Rachel and Sierra are kind of like a goodbye for the year. Elizabeth and Rachel decide to give Sierra some little gifts and they've each got her a framed picture of themselves.
Cute. Narcissistic, but okay.
I think it's like a take us with you, you know, remember us kind of situation.
Yeah. Fair, but also why not a photo of the three of them?
True. I didn't think of that. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of a shrine if it's got like friends, just friends on it. Anyways, that's them. That might be like an Oregon kind of thing. You know, classic Oregon gals.
Those Oregon gals.
Yeah.
Not that we've ever met anyone from Oregon.
That's right.
I've only ever read two books with people from Oregon in it.
And do they have framed photos of themselves?
One of them's actually a Wattpad book. By the way, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Ooh.
I actually really love it. It's not a fanfic because we know I don't like fanfics.
No.
I mean, maybe if you guys really want to know, I'll drop the name next week. At this stage, I'm not ready to disclose my cheesy Wattpad novels that I read.
That's fine. You can tell me later. So then now Sierra has actually arrived at the lot in California.
Yes. And I guess it's just like a little bit of setting scene and she's like putting on her super groovy and funky fluorescent orange vest.
Very nice.
And she's like heading out and looking at all the Christmas trees and stuff, which obviously they've grown. She begins her job in kind of like talking marks.
Yeah, it's just kind of saying she's a really big part of it and she knows exactly what she's doing and she has like a lot of experience.
Exactly. And her job is to, I believe her uncle Bruce flies a helicopter over and she hooks these lead rope things around the trees so that they can airlift them.
Yeah, that's right. And so after this description of kind of what she does, we get to the next day, and Sierra is actually just hanging out in her trailer, which her family lives in.
Yes.
And a tree falls against the window.
And she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And his head pops around, and she's like, oh, it's just my buddy Andrew. And we find out that Andrew has a high-key crush on Sierra.
He does. And that he was the one who dropped that tree.
Yes. And he's like, I'm so sorry. But I think the issue is that the last year, because he's like a reoccurring volunteer or worker, yeah. The last year he obviously had super big feels for her. He was super simpy, like all that sitch.
He was.
And he kind of asked her out, I think, but on a sticky note and stuck it to her trailer window.
Yeah.
And she's like, theoretically really romantic, but also like all I can think about is him just creeping in the middle of the night and sticking a little thing on my window.
Yeah, she wasn't vibing and she rejected him.
She did.
But he's still simping.
Yeah, I think he's hoping that something might have changed or something.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing has.
So's Andrew.
Yeah, so's Andrew. Anyways, and then Heather, her California BFF, shows up.
She does. And her and Sierra go up to Cardinal's Peak, which is kind of like their little hangout.
Yeah. Area.
I mean, not really hangout. I think ever since they can remember, they've got their own mini Christmas tree farm situation going
on. Yeah, that's right. And it's nostalgic. But yeah, they go to their hangout and Sierra's like, how are you going, Heather? And Heather's like, oh, I'm going to break up with my boyfriend, Devin. He's annoying.
She's just like going on and on about how boring he is.
Yeah.
Sierra's like, oh, but is he really that bad? And Heather's like, look, the words I'd use to describe how boring he is are more exciting than him. I feel so bad. This was when I was like, ooh, Heather. Like, to start with, I didn't really like Heather.
Yeah, when she walks by, she's not a sight for sore eyes. I do not wish I was Heather.
She grew on me, though, eventually.
Yeah, I grew to really like Heather. But at this point, she's introduced as a really, like, picky character.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to excuse the fact that they're 16.
Oh, true.
Okay, to be fair, they're so much more mature than Dash and Lily.
So true. Heather is not a Heather. She does not shriek.
She does not.
No.
She's not just a Heather.
She's not just a Heather.
If you guys haven't listened to our previous episode on Dash and Lily's Book of Dares,
Lily's a child.
I was going to say, go listen to it.
Oh.
But yeah, we just have very strong opinions about some of the characters and events in the book.
Yes, exactly. Anyways, so Heather talks about her life, basically, and just like, yeah, he's boring. And so now they're back at the trailer, and we find out that it's actually the first tree selling of the season, where people can come and people can get them trees.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure she's, like, in charge of the financials and stuff. So they end up selling the first tree. Super exciting, super fun, super groovy. Yeah. And Sierra is there drinking her drink of choice. So she has a shot of coffee, mixes some hot chocolate in with it, and stirs it around with a peppermint candy cane.
Yes, very close to what you're having, just without the coffee.
I'm thinking maybe an actual peppermint mocha
is
more what it's referring to, because I feel like I'm not drinking a peppermint mocha at all.
Oh, well, it still tastes
good. Oh yeah, I like it, it's good, but I don't know why Sierra would have this drink specifically over all other drinks, you know?
Fair. I mean, like, mint chocolate. I think that's what she was kind of going for.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Heather and Sierra are chatting. Classic girl talk. Heather's like, I want you to find a boyfriend. We can double date. It'll be so fun.
Yeah. And Sierra's again like, I don't want to find a Christmas romance because
get attached.
Yeah, and then she'll have to leave once it hits Christmas and it's just a disaster. And long distance does not work.
Exactly. So that conversation kind of just like ends there. And we flash forward to Sierra putting some posters up, I think, for her tree farm.
Yes, I think some lady comes around and she's like, hey, we're running this thing. Like, we'd really love it if you can put up some posters. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. So she's like stapling up these posters. And she hears Andrew being like, can I help you? And Sierra's like, no, I'm good. And then she turns around and she's like, oh my God, Andrew wasn't even talking to me. He's talking to this other guy looking for a tree.
Oh.
That's embarrassing.
But also, this other guy's really hot.
He has dimples.
He does.
It's very specifically mentioned.
Yeah.
His dimples.
Dimple guy.
Like, I think Jay Asher probably uses the word dimples like 4 times in the one sentence.
Yeah, just to make sure we know that he's got dimples.
And he's wildly attractive.
Yes. And so Sierra actually strikes up a conversation with the tree guy with the dimples, and Andrew's pretty salty about it. He's a bit jealous.
Well, I think Sierra has to, like, actually ring up the tree, because again, she's in charge of finances.
Yeah, exactly.
But Andrew's like, I'm so disappointed in you.
Andrew, do you have dimples? Like, obviously not.
Sierra's like, okay, chill, Andrew. Yeah. Really, we're in the past. Sierra's like thinking and she's like, actually, maybe I do want a date.
Yeah, if I found him attractive, then maybe, like, my soul is open for romance.
I think it's more specifically to Dimple Boy.
Yeah, she was really taken by him.
Yeah, it's him or no one at this point.
So true. So Sierra wakes up and the first thing she does is to text Heather about that boy.
Yes, she's like, I gotta get onto it. My bestie needs to know.
Yes, she was probably losing sleep over it, so she just had to tell her.
Exactly. And I think Heather's like, damn, girl, you get that boy.
Double date time.
Yes. And Sierra's having her morning coffee with her mum and her dad, and Sierra's like, hey, let's get straight to the point. Are we coming back next year to the Christmas tree farm?
Yeah. And the parents are like, honestly, we don't know. It really depends on what happens this year.
Exactly. Like, financial-wise, you know, it could go either way. Her mum's kind of just like, just make sure you make some good memories.
And then Heather actually comes into the trailer slash house where they're staying. And Sierra finally gets to meet Devin, the apparently really boring boy.
And he's like on his phone texting. And Sierra's like, hi, nice to meet you. And he looks up and he's like, yeah, it's nice to meet you too. And he seems like genuinely quite nice.
Yeah.
But he holds eye contact just long enough for the nice to meet you to be genuine. And he just like looks down at his phone again. And Heather's like, oh, Devin.
Yeah. But also Heather's like, ugh, I don't care about Devin. I want to hear about this boy.
Exactly.
And so Sierra's kind of describing him. She's like, he got dimples. He's like, yeah, yay, hi, like whatever. And Heather's like,
dimples? I know dimples.
Yeah.
I know a dimple boy.
It is Caleb.
Sierra's like, oh, Heather is me.
Yeah.
Let's just say it straight away. She's like, is it this guy? And she like taps on her phone and she brings up a picture and she's like, him.
Yeah.
And Sierra's like, yeah, how'd you know?
And Heather's like, I would stay away.
Because rumor has it that this guy, Caleb, attacked his sister with a knife.
Yes.
I tell you what.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
When you thought about this book?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Liv was like, oh my gosh, for the Christmas one, we have to do this book. It's called What Light. And like this girl runs this Christmas tree thing. And then this guy like tries to stab his sister. And I was like, what? In like teen fiction? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And then she's reading the blurb and it's like, oh, she runs a Christmas tree farm. Oh, will they or won't they? And she was like, maybe he didn't try to stab his sister.
I genuinely thought that maybe I'd made up a plot of my own book. Yeah. I was like, what did I do here?
I would not be surprised.
And then we like looked it up and we're like, no, it's chill.
Yeah,
exactly. I got the right book.
Exactly. And so yeah, apparently Caleb tried to stab his sister with a knife.
Yeah, so Heather's like, steer clear. Do you really want that? And Heather's like, it's chill. We can find you so many other guys. And Sierra's like, I don't want a Christmas romance anymore.
Yeah.
It was Caleb or no one.
It's Dimple or nothing.
Exactly.
Yes. So fast forward, and Heather actually stops by Sierra's place on her way back from school. And they kind of have a chat about Christmas presents because she don't know what to get for boring Devin.
Yeah, I think she's also having a little bit of a crisis again because she does want to break up with Devin.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to get him something really meaningful because I want to end it.
Yeah, exactly. Sierra's kind of like, that's a first world problem, isn't it, buddy?
So yeah, they're just like chilling at the little Christmas tree farm and Caleb rocks up.
He does.
Intense eye contact between Sierra and Caleb.
It does. There is so much tension. I love it. But it's also kind of like innocent tension.
And Heather kind of notices and she's like, oh, my dude, please no, do not. He went after his sister with a knife.
You do not want to be killed.
No. And Sierra's like,
I was just thinking about it.
I'm not actually going to do it. I was just thinking about it.
Anyway, so that conversation kind of just ends because Heather's like, not a good idea, and Sierra's like, watch me whip.
Again, fast forward a bit of time. There's a lot of, I feel like this is a lot of like short scenes all merged into one.
Yeah, it's almost like a movie.
Either way, like there's a lot of us being like, fast forward a little bit of time. And it is just because it's a lot of short little scenes that are all kind of condensed using those like page break things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the paragraph breaks?
Yeah.
In this book, they're Christmas trees, and it's just so cute.
So cute. I love it so, much. So Sierra actually heads home to the lot, or the Christmas tree lot, after this.
Yeah, I think she's just been, like, out doing her thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so she sees this purple truck that belongs to Caleb.
And she's like, he's back again?
Buying more trees?
Why?
Is it because of me?
Wink, wink.
And then she sees, like, heaps of trees, and she's like, oh, it wasn't because of me. Damn.
He genuinely wants them trees.
Yeah, and so Sierra's confused. He's like, What man needs this many trees? Well, Sierra's obviously really confused, and I think they have, like, a slight interaction that's like, what you doing, mate? And he's like, just getting some trees. And she says a line that's like, that's almost unforgivable. You may need to peruse elsewhere for discounted trees.
That's a little bit passive-aggressive.
It is a little passive-aggressive. I think it's more aggressive, and I think she's like, I just had a long day. I don't have time for your BS.
But at the same time, she's like, I just want an excuse to talk to you. You obviously know she's, like, going for the banter. She's trying to play it cool.
Yeah, but she loves the tension.
She does.
Yes. And so Caleb is actually really interested in this word that she uses, peruse. And he's like, wow, not many people use that in a sentence. Are you a literature nerd? And she's like, no, I'm just a smart girl.
I'm a smart girl. It is what it is.
That's right. So he kind of catches her staring at him and he's like, what? Why are you staring?
And she's like, well, finger twiddles.
Yeah.
I heard these rumors. And he, like, stops and he's like, of course you did. It's obvious, isn't it? Oh, of course. Okay. And then he just, like, gets in his car and drives off.
Yeah, and it's, like, obviously awkward, and Sierra's kind of like, but I want to hear about how you stabbed your sister. But he just leaves. And then we kind of fast forward to the next day, and Heather actually picks Sierra up for breakfast at the Breakfast Express.
Yes, and just before they head in, Heather's like, BTW, Caleb works here.
Yeah, and so when they go in, they see Caleb, and Sierra's just like, oh, Caleb, I didn't know you worked here, buddy.
As if she didn't just find out, like, 10 minutes. She's like, no way.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Oh, my God, what a coinky dink.
What a coinky dink. Also, did you stab your sister?
Sneak like it in there.
Dumbledore with the Goblet of Fire. It's like, Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? But it's like, Caleb, did you stab your sister?
Oh, my God, wow.
Yeah. So Caleb sits Heather and Sierra down, and Sierra and Caleb have this weird sexual but angry tension.
I think they're just like a little, they haven't DTR'd. I learned that term recently.
Oh.
Defined the relationship.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like down to text. Did the tarantella.
No, you're thinking DTT.
No, DTR. I was thinking DTF, like, well, down to frick frack.
Oh, yeah. No, DTR, define the relationship.
Oh.
So I think he's unsure of where their standing is. Sierra wants to get back in his good books, but she doesn't really know. Yeah, she's awkward.
Yeah, that's right. But Heather sees all of it.
And Heather's like, ooh, that is real awkward.
Yeah, and teases Sierra about it.
Mm-hmm. I think they kind of make up a little bit, and Caleb's like, I got you, I'm gonna make you guys some drinks. And he goes off, and Sierra's just, like, giving him the Disney look or whatever. And, you know, she's obviously in love by now. Some girls walk in the door, and Caleb's like, oh my god, what are you doing here? And they're like, thank you so much for the tree, like, it's so nice of you, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and we find out that they're also from the food bank. So, obviously, Caleb's been helping out these people who are less fortunate, and this warms Sierra's heart a lot.
It does, it warms my heart.
Yeah, same.
It did confuse me when I first read it, because I was like, okay, this dude potentially stabbed his sister with a knife.
And now he's giving little girls trees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A little bit confused, but I get it. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And during this realization, Heather just gives Caleb the nickname of Tree Boy, but that's, like, the only time that she ever really calls him Tree Boy.
It's so weird.
I know.
Maybe it's just, like, a little offhanded comment.
Yeah, that's right. And then Caleb just, like, ends up sitting with them, because Sierra's like, I guess you're not an assassin, so it's fine.
Sierra did, like, high-key turn off her flirting. Tap, tap. Come sit next to me, lover boy.
Lover boy. I love it. And then Sierra's back at the lot.
Yes.
And her and her dad are actually doing work, but they're also talking about dating and boys within the company, because her dad frowns upon in-company dating.
I don't even know if it's in-company in general. I think he just has a thing against her dating whilst in California.
Yeah.
Because again, they'll have to leave. Like, it's really uncertain of what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. After this kind of conversation, just a little bit after, Caleb comes back for more Christmas trees.
And Sierra's like, I got a present for you.
It's gingerbread. No, that's just for me.
She gives him a comb.
Yes.
So I'm getting the impression he has very, like, unruly, maybe, like, curly hair.
Yeah, or maybe he's always, like, rushing around. She's like, do your hair, damn boy.
Either way, he's like, okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Don't know if I'm ever going to use this, but thank you.
That's right. And then after this encounter, he's still there with her, and this family arrives, and they're called the Richardsons. And they arrive onto the tree farm looking for a tree, obviously.
I think they're, like, a long-standing
customer.
Yeah, exactly. So they come every year.
They're very loyal.
Exactly.
And they've also brought some homemade cookies.
Yes. And they give them to Sierra and Caleb. And they're like, these are for you. You and your boyfriend will love them. And they're like, choking on cookies.
Yeah, they love them cookies.
I mean, I'm sure they don't actually choke, but like, I get the impression it would be very Caleb-esque to choke on a cookie when someone suggests that he is Sierra's boyfriend.
That's right. So they love the cookies, but obviously it caught them off guard a little bit.
Exactly.
But Sierra was thinking about the food bank girls again and just the joys of Christmas and giving. And so she's like, Caleb, next time you do a tree drop, I want to be there.
And he's like, let's set a date. And when we set that date, I'll finally use the comb.
Yes, very true.
So I guess they've kind of overcome that little obstacle situation they had before.
Yeah, I think it was more of like a first impression gone wrong because they didn't know each other super well and she just like judged him straight away.
I'm also wondering if maybe he's thought that she's given up on asking about this stabbing situation.
Yeah, maybe. He's like, I guess we'll move on.
Yeah. Haha, jokes.
On you. So now it's Sunday evening. Just like the next Sunday. And Sierra's actually talking to her best friends from Oregon, Rachel and Elizabeth.
They're back.
They are back.
It's been a hot minute, but they're back.
They are. And so Sierra's like, let me catch you up on this dimple boy. They're like, tell me about the dimple boy. And she's like, yeah, so he's so cute. He might be like a murderer. Not too sure. And so her friend's like, oh my gosh, stay away.
But like, we told you to find a holiday romance. Not with a potential killer.
No. And so I don't think they really like Caleb. They tell her to stay away from him. Sierra's not really listening. And she's like, no, I know the real him.
Oh, Sierra.
It's been a day, girl. Anyways.
I'm just silently shaking my head for all you listeners. I'm just so disappointed in Sierra.
I know. But obviously she sees something in him. And then she kind of has like a text conversation with Caleb and she's just telling him how sweet he is for what he does with the trees. And like, no one else is really understanding that at the moment, but she does.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's basically like, hey, can I come over? And she's like, yeah, I got you, boo. So they head over. And I think they've agreed to, like, meet up to do this Christmas tree farm delivery situation.
Yes.
So they're in the car together and they're chatting.
And she tells him about her childhood relating to the Christmas tree farm and everything, I think just so that they can get to know each other a bit better. Yes. And she tells a story about how when Sierra was a child, her parents, like her family, planted a tree, I guess, to pay homage to Sierra because they were really excited for her.
Yes.
And so 6 years later, after this tree was planted, they actually had to cut the tree down and Sierra was devastated over it.
I think it not even was like a tragic event. Like, it's a Christmas tree. 6 years, it grew into a big tree. They're like, it's someone's Christmas tree now. And they go to cut it and Sierra's like, oh my God.
Well, she was six. So, true. Yeah. To make her stop crying and shut up a little bit, her parents just like cut off an inch from the very bottom of the tree so that she could keep it forever. And so Sierra keeps this little tree bit in her room.
Very sentimental.
Yes,
incredibly. I mean, I can relate. I mean, I keep the randomest things.
I know, I keep wrapping paper because it reminds me of the person.
I mean, that wine bottle stopper there on my bookshelf, that was the bottle of Moscato we had when I found out that I was in Melbourne University.
Oh!
I, like, literally keep the weirdest things.
Oh, yeah, I'm, like, weirdly sentimental like that, too. Like, I just have random stuff. Or if I go on, like, a date, I usually keep something, like, take something away.
Yeah, well, I mean, that bullseye. Yeah. I found him on a beach one time. I was like, nice beach trip, I'm gonna take this bullseye.
Aw, so cute.
And Caleb's all like, oh my god, that's literally adorable.
He's a simpy boy.
He is. And we kind of find out that every year since then, Sierra has been going to the top of Cardinal's Peak to plant trees.
Yes.
It's a bit of a tradition now.
Yeah, it is. And her plan is that the first one that is fully grown, she will give to Heather, because her and Heather have been a part of that little tree planting thing since it started.
Yes, I'm a little confused about, like, if we've completely interpreted that right. I think we have.
I think
we
have.
But, like, I don't know, it's a little confusing the way it was described.
Yeah. Let us know if you guys know the actual context of it.
Yes.
So they pull up to the house where they need to be for the Christmas tree drop-off, but Caleb looks a little anxious and off.
Yes. So they bring the tree inside, and it's this lovely lady, but we find out that her son actually goes to school with Caleb, and I think they're friends.
Yeah. Or they were, but things are a little bit tense, and we're not sure why yet.
Yes, his name is Lewis.
So after the drop-off, they're back at the farm. I guess Sierra was, like, having a chill down. She probably went back into her room to freshen up a little bit.
Little spritz of perfume.
That's right. So she comes back out, and she actually finds that Andrew and Caleb are talking. And it's really tense, because obviously Caleb is kind of chill, but Andrew is, I guess, judgy and being really hostile.
I think Andrew might go to school with Caleb.
Yeah.
So obviously Andrew knows what's up.
Yeah.
But either way, I picture this, like, you know in The Sims when they're, like, arguing and their hands are, like, yes. And they're, like, you know, that's how I kind of picture Andrew.
A blee blah blah blah.
Yeah, exactly.
A blee blah blah blah. Yeah, so obviously things are really intense. And then Sierra actually sees that Caleb and her dad are talking. Things don't seem to be going, like, super well. I think, like, the dad's just very protective, as a father is. And he's also, like, don't fall in love with this dimple sexy boy because you're gonna get really, really hurt. And so Sierra's like, hey dad, so you guys talking, what do you think? And the dad's like, I don't know, like, there's some stuff about him, something seems off, I wouldn't trust him, it's just not, like, the best time, Sierra, it's not the best idea.
It's not even that the dad knows about Caleb's past yet.
Yeah.
I think he's literally just being the stereotypical overprotective father.
Yes, but also he's very logical. Like, they're leaving very, very soon. They're leaving in, like, a week. So
exactly.
I think he's just trying to be like, don't fall too hard. I'm suspicious. Like, what's happening? And Sierra's like, shut up, dad. Let me live my life. I'm not your little girl anymore.
Such a classic line.
Right. And so her and her dad, it's, like, a little bit tense, but also they have to work together. So I guess they just have a little bit of an argument. And they're like, all right, agree to disagree, whatever. Mm-hmm. You'll see, Dad. You'll see. And he's like, I really don't want to, but okay. After this, I think Andrew's trying to be like, oh, sad thing about your dad, like, disagreeing. He's right, though. Like, I think he's just trying to, like, win her back. Yeah, yeah. And Sierra's like, bruh, I don't want you.
She's like, I'm so sorry. I really don't feel the way about you that you feel about me.
Yeah, it's definitely not mutual.
So's Andrew.
So's Andrew.
Nice try, Andy, but not this time.
No.
So they head to this kind of Christmas parade-y situation, and I think it's, like, the main crew. Like,
yeah.
It's Heather, Sierra, and Devon.
Yeah.
Heather's boyfriend. And he's, like, not super vibing. I honestly just think he's there to, like, I think he's, Heather's like, I need you here. And he's like, I got you.
I don't want to be.
We both went in very different directions. Yeah.
But it's true.
Like, yeah. He's definitely, like, just doing whatever to make Heather happy.
Yes. But I think Sierra's having a good time. I think she's really enjoying getting into some sort of, oh, I don't know, like, routine, which is sad because she really shouldn't get into a routine, but they're kind of just a squad now and it's nice.
I think Sierra's, like, the ultimate third wheel.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, and I think she sees Caleb kind of, like, across, I assume they're in a field or something.
Yeah, a typical American kind of, like, homecoming situation, parade. Yeah.
So I think they're, like, over there. Anyway, she sees Caleb and he's with his friends and Sierra's like, I'm gonna see my boy. So she, like, I feel like this is, like, a Moses and the river situation.
The Red Sea.
Yeah.
That we parted.
How did I muck that up so badly? Anyway, and she's just, like, walking through and people are, like, parting and she's like, Caleb.
And Caleb's like, yes, Moses.
Anyway, and she kind of hangs out with Caleb a little bit. I think it's a little bit awkward. But either way, Caleb's like, Sierra, these are my buds. Buds, this is Sierra, the girl I'm hardcore crushing on. And everyone's like, yes, I've heard about you.
Don't you love it when that happens, though?
It's so awkward. It's like a, you know, when you, like, introduce someone and you're like, you got to pretend you don't know who they are.
Yes, either be like, I've heard so much about you, but then the other person gets mad about it because they're like, stop.
So you have to introduce them and you'd be like, oh, what did you say your name was again? Jack? Oh, not
Sierra?
Jack.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, super nice to meet you. I've never heard of you ever before.
No, or if they have heard of it, it's like too much pressure, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, Caleb's friends definitely don't play it cool. They're like, yes, we've heard about you. We know you. Caleb's spoken about you heaps. He loves you.
Caleb's obsessed with you.
Exactly.
And then a guy from one of the marching bands in the parade comes over, and we find out that it's Jeremiah, who is Caleb's old friend.
His ex-bestie, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. And Sierra's kind of like, oh, hello, and then realizes there's a weird vibe going on.
Ooh, big weird vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, Caleb's kind of withdrawn a little bit, and he looks kind of, I don't know, I think there's definitely a hint of sadness in there.
Oh, yes.
And you can tell that both Caleb and Jeremiah are thinking about past memories.
Yes, and Sierra's like, tell me, spill the tea. And Caleb's like, I don't want to.
You are prying too much, Sierra.
Yes.
Take a step back, woman.
Exactly. So Caleb and Sierra kind of separate from the group. And as they're kind of leaving, Sierra's like, so what was that? And Caleb's like, I don't know. Don't worry
what was
about
what?
It.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. And she's like, the like fluoro costumed marching band guy that came over. I don't know what he's wearing. I used to be in a marching band. And
did you play?
Percussion.
Oh, I knew that, because I know you're big into piano, but I always forget that you, like,
dabble in
the other drums.
I do, and it was, like, a red and black, like, Taylor Swift, You Belong With Me music video kind of vibe.
Oh, my God, I actually love that.
Yeah, I was not sitting on the bleachers. I was just doing my stuff, you know?
And Sierra's like, yeah, so who was that? And he's like, just an old friend, nothing to worry about. And she's like, is there a story there? And he's like, it's a long story. And she's like, okay, well, you're going to be like that. You go hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'd rather be with you. And she's like, no, I think you want to stay with your friends tonight. And he's like, okay, I've obviously mucked up. Let me try this again.
And so he goes on to say that him and Jeremiah used to actually be really, really close friends, like best friends. But some stuff happened in the past and Jeremiah's parents don't want him hanging out with Caleb anymore.
Yeah, so there's definitely some tea there.
Yeah.
And we obviously suspect it's to do with the whole knife-stabbing situation.
Yeah, because Caleb is literally a saint otherwise, so...
Something's not adding up. He needs an imperfection.
Yes, he does. And the imperfection is being a murderous person. But it's fine.
He's murderous in, like, an endearing kind of way.
I guess.
I tell you what, this is an issue. My enemies to lovers, I'm just really concerned in real life I'm going to set out to try and find a serial killer.
Oh my gosh, true. That they actually hate you and you're like, ooh, sexy.
Yeah, and then tension. I'm going to end up getting, like, murdered in a forest somewhere.
I will never let that happen to you, don't worry.
You're going to be the ultimate third wheel. You're going to be the Sierra to my Heather and Devon.
Oh my gosh, true. True. I will. I'll be the Sierra. Anyways, so after this, they go and find Heather and Devon since, you know, they had a bit of a debrief and I guess Sierra's pretty happy with what she got. And as they kind of run into Heather and Devon, Heather's like, oh my gosh, this winter queen, which I guess is kind of like homecoming queen, but for their little town.
Yeah.
She just like gave Devon her number. Like, what a gossip. Like, how rude. And Sierra's like, I literally don't care, but whoa.
Heather's like... This is probably the worst thing to ever happen to Heather,
yeah,
to be honest.
She does not have
her
priority,
like,
straight.
I was literally standing right there, and she came up and gave my boyfriend her number.
Literally.
Which is also, like, Heather, why? Because she wants to break up with Devon so badly.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Classic.
She's so upset.
Yeah, she's like, no one else can break up with him except for me.
To be honest, I'm wondering if Heather just, like, wants Devon to put in some more effort.
Yeah.
Because she definitely... shows signs that she still cares about him and wants to be with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's just... because he seems like he's always on his phone, just like...
True, and then the little bit of effort that he puts in, she appreciates so much.
Exactly. So I suspect, yeah.
Yes.
I suspect she wants to be with him, he just needs to up his game.
Yeah, exactly.
And not accept numbers from Winter Queens.
Yeah, surely he didn't take it.
I feel
surely
like
he wasn't like, thank you.
I feel like it was definitely mentioned in somewhere.
That he took it. I wouldn't put it past him. He's probably a really nice person, and so he's like, oh, thank you.
I feel like Devon's just so oblivious. Like, she'd slip it to him on a napkin, and he'd be like, oh, thank you, that hot dog was really messy. As he just, like, wipes the sauce off his face.
Yeah. And then Heather's next to him, like, fuming.
She's like, how dare you? Are
yeah.
you trying to absorb this number? So I think after the parade finishes, Caleb and Sierra, they got to do their little Christmas tree drop situation.
Yes.
And they go to a little house and they, like, ring the doorbell. And this woman answers and she's like, about time you got here. I had to miss the parade. I thought you were going to arrive earlier. We literally sat home all during the parade. We could have been there. Like, she's just so ungrateful.
Yeah, she's rude. And Sierra's really sick of her shit. So she's like, you should be grateful that you're getting this tree. Like, how can you complain? I don't care. Like, I wouldn't care about this stupid parade. I would care about what you're getting from us, which is an act of charity and kindness.
Caleb's just like, whatever, basically.
Yeah.
And
he's
I was like,
I'm used to it.
Yeah, and that made me a little bit sad, because
yeah.
he's, like, obviously spending his own money to do
yeah.
this. I don't know. Anyway, and as they're leaving, Sierra's like, that is not cool, she should have been nicer, and he's like, really, it's fine. You know, I'd be upset too if I had to miss the parade. He's just so understanding that it's just so unbelievable at this point that he could go after his sister with a knife.
Exactly. Throughout this entire book, I'm like, what made you do that?
It just not make sense.
No.
It's so weird. Like, it's just such a weird flaw to add in... about Caleb.
Yeah, if she's explaining it to her friend, she's like, he's great in all aspects except he pulled a knife on his sister.
Yeah, that's not a vibe.
No. So moving on from that, a little bit of time passes and I guess things get into a bit of a routine, or things are really hitting off because Christmas is approaching, and Sierra and Heather actually organised to do a little cookie making session.
Yeah. It's super cute. I vibe that.
Yeah, same. We should do that.
We should, with gingerbread.
Yeah.
Now that you've had gingerbread.
Now that I haven't, I'm obsessed with it.
It's so fun to make.
It's so good.
I could
good.
Totally picture us being Sierra and Heather.
Yes. Who's Sierra and who's Heather? I feel like I'm Heather.
Yeah, look, I don't want to be
I'm the main character.
Yeah, I don't want to be that. But enemies to lovers, I'd go for the guy that pulled a knife on his sister.
So true. And I'm the one that always complains about her boyfriend and then won't let anyone else hang out with him.
Exactly.
Whoops.
Like, you were that to a T. But I'm also, candy cane loving, and I'm just, here for the warm clothes.
Yeah, true.
And vibing with trees.
So true. And you're very, very sentimental.
I am.
I love that.
Damn.
Yeah.
We are Sierra and Heather.
We
are. Even though I hate being, I'm a main character. Yeah.
And I hate being I wish I were Heather. Which I apparently am, so it's fine.
Love that for you.
Yeah. Anyways, so they're doing this little bake sesh planning, and Sierra kind of texts Caleb, yo, are you up for it? And Caleb's like, yeah, bruh.
It's like, surely it's 2 a.m. and she's like, hey, you up?
And he's like, you're cooking? I'm coming over.
Netflix and cook?
Yeah, Netflix and gingerbread? I don't even know.
Yes. I want to change Netflix and chill to Netflix and gingerbread.
Netflix and bake.
But how do you make that into I don't know how you make that into a Netflix and chill. I think I'm going to stick with Netflix and gingerbread.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so after this, obviously she's excited about the cooking session with Caleb and, the rest of the posse. And Sierra's dad kind of just mentions, do not get your hopes up again. Bad idea to start something while you're here because we're leaving soon. And second of all, he ain't great news, but okay. And so she arranges to meet up with Caleb, and Sierra's like, I know the place for the perfect pancakes. And so they go there. And while they're eating their lovely pancakes that they did not bake themselves, so obviously not sexy times,
Sierra's like, so, about this knife situation.
And he's like, again.
It's like, the first time they're in a public setting, she's like, better mention it.
Yeah.
Just in case he does decide to murder me. Better make sure it's in a pancake parlor where everyone can see and, call some security if needed.
Exactly. And he's basically like, oh, you really want to talk about this.
Mm. And he goes on to say, what have you heard? And Sierra's like, well, I heard you attacked your sister with a knife and you don't live with her anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, I don't live with her anymore. She lives in Nevada with our dad.
Yeah.
The tea is spilled. His parents split up a little while ago, and he found things really hard. And so did his sister, Abby.
Yes, and Abby basically blames Caleb for, how the family split or that the family split. And I guess it really got to him. I think it was, unrelenting blame. She always brought it up.
I can't even remember why she blamed him.
Yeah, neither. I guess because he's older,
Yeah, maybe because he just didn't try and hold the family together enough. I don't know. I just think it's a real... Abby's obviously... She's quite a bit younger than Caleb, I think. But either
and
way...
immature, yeah.
I just don't think you can blame someone for the divorce. Unless they are, had an affair. You can't...
Yeah, exactly.
Blame anyone.
No, exactly. And so I guess Abby just keeps on pestering him and being, aggressive or whatever, or just emotionally traumatizing. And so obviously, if this happens all the time, you're going to snap. If you pour water into a cup all the time, it's going to overflow at some point. And so I guess
that's
one day...
That's a very nice analogy.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed. That was a good one.
Thanks.
Good job. Continue.
Thank you. Thanks. And so I guess one day it just got too much and Caleb snapped and he grabbed a knife just to scare his sister, I guess. They were probably in the kitchen. He was probably slicing up some toast and he just held it up.
And
chased her.
Got the impression he pulled it out of a knife block.
Whoa.
I think he was genuinely just so outraged. I think he really did just want to scare her in such a severe way that she wouldn't say anything about it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's done. But Caleb said he had no intention to hurt her. He was just really sick of her shit.
And I mean, I guess we can joke around a lot that do you even have a sibling if you didn't run after them with a knife and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But
I think he ran after her and she went up to her room and slammed her door shut and he stabbed the door several times, I think.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more serious than the casual, ha ha, I'ma get you.
Yeah, exactly. And he also mentions that Jeremiah was actually there when it happened.
Which does explain why his parents might not vibe
no.
with him being friends with Caleb.
Traumatic stuff.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. And so Caleb's obviously distressed while he's talking about this, because I'm sure he's repeated this story so many times to probably, like, officials, and even if he had to, like, go to court or something about it.
Do you think, though? I'm wondering if he has. I think
only to police officers who have absolutely no empathy for him.
I didn't even think about that. I thought it more like, you know, he's never really shared this story with anyone before.
Ah.
Because, to be honest, like, I don't think it was ever a big thing that was brought to court or anything.
Yeah,
maybe. At least I got that impression.
Yeah, no.
Like, I feel like maybe it was just a family thing. Because, like, you know, she moved away. It's not like he had, like, a restraining order put against him.
And rumors, and no one listened to what actually happened. That's so true.
Exactly. I think he's just, you know, very shaken up repeating what happened. Because he knows there's so many rumors surrounding him.
Yeah.
I think it's more, he's feeling deathly afraid that Sierra is going to change her opinion of him.
Right.
Because she obviously didn't know before.
Yeah, and he probably thought that she already had, like, a weird first impression of him and that there's no way to change it.
Mm.
Yes, anyways, so Caleb's obviously quite upset to just hash all this out again, to, like, dig it up from so long before. And he's really worried that Sierra's going to think of him differently or judge him, but she just puts her fingers over Caleb's and I guess just wanted to comfort him a little bit and assure him that she still thinks of him the same way and she still cares about him.
Mm. And I think she's worried, specifically, like, we know she's probably leaving the Christmas tree farm at the end of the season.
Yes.
And I think she's a bit concerned that maybe Caleb only told her because she's leaving. Like, it's a bit like a, you know,
no one will ever find out. It's over.
Or even like a, I'll tell you and you'll leave, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And Caleb's like, that is not the case at all. And kind of touches her a little bit along the knuckles and just says, it's just you.
Super cute.
So cute.
I mean, not a super cute context, but either way. I'm just so confused. Like, there's so many other flaws that Jay Asher could have written.
I know.
Why did you have to make your character go after their sister with a knife? Maybe Jay just
was
has
Devin?
A thing.
In real life.
I think she has a thing with kind of, like, darker themes. Because I know that Jay Asher wrote 13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
So he's probably quite experienced with the whole.
That's true.
But I think that, I don't know, I just feel like there's a lot of flaws. Like, I think there's a lot of issues with the specific flaw that they've chosen for Caleb. Because, like, I mean, it's already, like, a cheesy Christmas novel, but they could have done the typical YA contemporary, or even, like, Wattpad contemporary, where they're like, ooh, he's a bad boy, he's a underground boxer, and that's why everyone's really wary of him and stuff.
But instead, it's just he stabs his sister. Well, tries to.
Yeah, like, ugh, I don't know. There's so many other flaws they could have added in, other than one that really is
random.
Yeah, and it's so dangerous.
Random. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Kind of weird scenario, but they have cleared it up now.
They
so
have.
Sierra knows the full story. We're all on the same page here.
They do. And so then they get into the truck, and I guess Sierra's just like, oh, I hope I wasn't overstepping. Like, I really didn't want to force it out of him, even though she did. But she's like, oh, I feel guilty now. I have buyer's remorse. And Caleb's like, don't worry, I wanted to tell you. And also, my sister Abby is actually coming to Christmas, and I want you to meet her.
Very fast.
Very fast. But I guess in the holidays, like, summer romance, everything moves really quickly.
I'd really just like a cute little summer romance.
Same.
With my guy from the nursery up there.
Oh, yeah, true. And my guy from the Specsavers that I work opposite.
Man.
Double date time.
I feel like we're moving too late, though.
Yeah.
Like, we've already been on, like, summer break for, what, a month now?
Yeah.
We should have gone right into it at the start of the month.
We should have been focused, but we're just too focused on this podcast.
Maybe we go strong for winter break.
Yes. Winter is cute because then you can hold hands without things getting sweaty.
We go ice skating.
We can. It's yes. A plan. Let's do it.
So, I guess on that note, we find out that Sierra has been going to school with Heather every year. I think it's kind of like a tradition. Once a year during that kind of winter season, Sierra just goes to school with Heather for a day and everyone's like, yeah, seems legit.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, two gal pals, they got a debrief on what happened, And so Sierra's like, basically, this is what happened between me and Caleb, and this is what he, like, kind of told me, and she's defending Caleb or whatever. They're just talking.
I think also, I mean, I might be remembering incorrectly. I might be just making up my own fiction story here, but I'm pretty sure Sierra's also like, I understand what happened. Not going to tell you, though, because it's his story to tell.
Yeah, like, trust me. He can be trusted. These rumors aren't what they seem.
Mm. Like, am I making that up, or was that an actual part of the book?
No, I think that's what it was, yeah.
Awesome. I feel like I've just read so many Wattpad things where this happens.
True.
And now I can't distinguish between real fiction and, like,
no.
Wattpad books.
I think this happened.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
And so during this, Jeremiah actually rocks up again. He just shows up. I think they go to the same school. And Sierra and Jeremiah have a bit of a tense kind of argument about Caleb.
I think basically she's like, Caleb is a good guy. Why are you letting your mom and sister control you? I know you want to be friends with him.
Yeah. And yeah. Jeremiah's like, I saw him stab someone or attempt to.
You just keep on saying stab someone. He stabbed a door. I mean, obviously that's traumatizing in itself. I saw him
stab a door. Nobody mistreat my furniture like that. Jeremiah's a furniture freak. And after this argument, at the end of the school day, Heather actually makes plans for her and whoever wants to come to go downtown. And Caleb's like, yeah, I'll come. I'm up for that.
So they head into town, and Caleb and Sierra, they're like going into the coupley kind of vibe.
Yeah, they're like holding hands. There's some touching.
They haven't DTR'd yet.
No, they haven't.
We still don't know what's going on there.
No.
But yeah, they're like holding hands as they stroll together. Super cute.
So cute. I'm envious of those couples when I see them at the mall.
Done.
Yeah. Anyways, and so they're kind of talking about Christmas gifts because it's approaching very, very quickly. And
yeah, and I think Sierra or someone asks Heather, they're like, Heather, if you could have anything, what would it be? And Heather basically goes on this rant. She's like, I just want someone to give me the perfect day. Like, she goes on and on and on. And she's like looking at Devin, and Devin's like on his phone or something. Caleb's like, someone will get you that one day. And, like, does a bit of elbow to Devin. And Devin looks up and he's like, oh, what? And Devin's like, we were talking about what I want for Christmas, Devin. And Devin's like, oh, yeah. Like those scented candles. You really like scented candles.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, yeah, real observant. They're literally all over my room.
Oh, gosh.
And he's like, yeah, I am so great.
I'm smart.
Such a good boyfriend.
So good.
I know what you like.
Yes, all these scented candles.
And she's like, yeah, okay, great. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Aww.
I feel so heard.
I feel bad for Heather at this because attentiveness is really important in a relationship. And I feel like Devin's just not 100% there all the time.
Yeah, but like we were saying before, I think she just needs him to step up his game.
Yes. Anyways, and so they actually pass this little seasonal shop, or a shop that has, you know, seasonal merchandise in it. And Caleb starts to show off his really knowledgeable sense in wax and candles and candle making. Like, he was really obsessed with it. And he's like, this sort of wax is good for this. Like, he's really into it.
He's a candle connoisseur.
He is a candle connoisseur. And
they're, like, smelling candles.
Yeah.
And Caleb's like, what kind of candle do you like? And Sierra's like, I really like the cinnamony ones. And he's like, I beg you, cinnamon is a starter scent. You need to evolve. Everyone likes cinnamon.
You need to be cultured.
Exactly. Caleb is such a candle snob.
He is. And basically, this gets a little spicy, and he's like, Sierra, close your eyes. And Sierra, like, closes her eyes, and he's like, sniff this candle. Like, it's so sensual. And Sierra is like so up for it, and he's like so close to her, and he's like letting her whiff it from like underneath her nose. It's so like tension. Also, they're in public, which you're makes making it even more this sexy.
Into something. I feel like it's not. I think you're spice deprived.
Yeah, I know. After Sarah J. Maas, I'm like, oh, candle smelling time. Smacks me. Anyways, and they're like, smelling candle. It's like a little bit intimate. It's more like cutesy, flirty, like, oh, smell candle.
Yeah, I think it's like a, I chose this one. You smell it. What do you think it smells
I
like?
I just made it like 50 Shades
you
of Grey.
You did. You took it somewhere it did not need to go.
Anyways.
And he's like, what do you think this smells like? And she's like, it smells like someone just brushed their teeth. And she opens her eyes, and he's like, it has some peppermint, Christmas trees, and a little chocolate. It reminds me of you.
Ooh. She's like, aw, do you want me to buy it for you?
And he's like, don't think I could, because I would probably go crazy if I lit it in my room.
Oh.
And now I'm like, okay, maybe this is a little saucy. Not enough for a spice rating.
No.
But enough so that I'm like,
rate it like a 0.07 spice
that
rating.
That high? I would go point, maybe like 0.02.
I like the 0.07 because I like a little bit of like sensual candle action. Anyways. And
you love a smexy candle time.
I do. And while they're having this smexy candle time, Devin all of a sudden just gains a personality and goes, hey guys, wanna go see Santa? Heather's like, we're smelling sensual candles, Devin.
Not gonna lie, this is high key giving me flashbacks to Dash and Lily in that Santa that was like a little touchy.
Oh my gosh, true. True. But this Santa photo thing is slightly like intimate. It's just not with Santa.
But it's Santa like, is the third wheel.
Yeah, Santa is the third wheel. Like, they go to Santa and they're like brushing their heads against each other. I think it's just an excuse. Like, they should have sat on each other's laps, to be honest. Santa was probably just there, like, oh, get a room, but not this one. Because the reindeers are watching.
So they go to, like, I guess it's a desk or something, and they're like, yeah, we want to print out our photos. And Caleb's like, yeah, I'll print out these photos. Also, can you put this one on a keychain as well? And he buys a keychain of him and Sierra sitting on Santa's lap.
So cute. They just, I guess, chat a little bit about, like, other couples, because it kind of leads on to the conversation of Sierra and Caleb and where they're going to be, like, where they're going to be after Sierra leaves. And I guess they kind of argue a little bit. But behind this arguing, it's more like, no, I care about you, and that's why it'll be hard, and you care about me. Like, they kind of just argue about how much they like each other instead of actually arguing. Like, they're just arguing around the actual problem.
How pointless. Like,
I know.
I don't know. I just, I'm like, come on, you should be making the most of the time spent together. I think if you have real genuine feelings and care about someone a lot, I think you can make long-distance relationships work.
Yeah, for sure. But I think at this point they haven't realized that they have genuine feelings.
I guess also, though, it depends on your love language. Like, if your love language is physical touch, I imagine it might be very difficult to maintain a relationship long-distance.
What's your top one?
I don't know.
Okay, so Liv's just taken the quiz, and your top one is...
Words of affirmation, was it?
Yes. It makes so much sense.
You reckon?
Yeah, because you do like a bit of reassurance, like, just to make sure that everything and everyone's on the same page.
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm quite an anxious person in general, and I'm such an overthinker.
Yeah, but also you plan a lot of things out, so I feel like words of affirmation would help you so much.
Yes. Just someone, I really appreciate, like, establishing boundaries and whatnot.
Yes.
Or even just, like... I don't know, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree.
So that's funky.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine is acts of service. I really love it when people are thoughtful and not like gift giving, but if they're like, oh, I was on my way back and there's this thing that you like and I just picked it up for you. Or if they're like, oh, I can help you with that. If I'm like, oh, I'm doing all these things, or if I'm running an errand, they'll be like, oh, I'll pick those up for you. It's like... the nicest thing that anyone can do, like thoughtfulness, you know?
I mean, even gift giving as an act of service, I feel like for you, you
I
really
love gift giving.
Like, we just exchanged Christmas presents before.
We did.
And you're like, you know what, even if you give me a cup of tea, then I'll be so grateful. And I was like, oh my god, okay, wow, the bar is so low.
And she did give me a cup and a tea, but both very, very nice ones. So I'm very, very grateful.
Flex, flex, good friend.
I love it. No, I love gift giving. Like, I love giving other people gifts. I love thinking about how they're going to react to it. And, oh, it's just the best thing ever.
So was my good. Reaction to your gift good enough for you?
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to cry, though.
I did. I sobbed.
She did.
And we're, like, sitting here recording it, so I still have, like, mascara smudged all along under my eyes.
It was so sweet.
I'm trying to hold myself together.
No, it was so sweet. I didn't expect you to cry. I thought you were just going to be like, oh my gosh, thank you.
I was very emotional. Oh, just a bit of context.
Yeah.
Alicia bought me the A Court of Thorns and Roses Collector's Edition. Oh my god, I can't.
Weird flex, but okay.
Even yeah. Just talking about it, I'm, like, a little bit emotional.
It looks so good on your bookshelf. It's literally
it does.
So
I propped
good.
It up.
And so Caleb's basically like, after this little arguing thing, I want you to meet my family. And Sierra's like, all right, chill, I'll meet your fam.
Yeah, I feel like they've kind of established that they're ready for that step. They've done a little bit of DTRing,
yeah.
But not fully.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Sierra gets home, it's a bit of a weird thing. Like, she sees those singular photos that her friends gave her and kind of acted out a conversation that she would potentially have with them if they were there.
It's like when you're a kid and you have, like, Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are you doing today, Ken? Oh, yeah, really good, thank you.
Exactly, exactly. And she's, like, trying to plan it all out before she actually talks to them about it. And so a bit after this, she actually receives a call from Rachel, her best friend from Oregon. Rachel's like, oh my gosh, how are you? I don't care. Just letting you know, this girl has mono, so she can't perform anymore and I can. Yeah. Exciting.
It's kind of strange. I think more the kind of situation went down that Rachel's super excited because she now gets to play the lead in a play that's coming up and that she's been really wanting to play. Sierra's like, well, what happened to the person who was playing the role? And she's like, she has mono, which is, like, bad, but really good for me.
Yeah.
And Sierra's like, well, at least you acknowledge that mono is bad.
Exactly.
So glad that you at least know this.
Yeah, that you have a brain. But now Sierra's kind of stressed because she actually has to choose between going to see Rachel in her play or kind of spending time with Caleb.
And meeting Caleb's family.
Yeah, that whole evening.
Little bit awkward. Either way, she did what I do in every social situation. She's like, I'm going to check with my mum. Yeah. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
So she hangs up the phone and she goes and talks to her mum. And she's like, mum, can I go see Rachel perform in this play? And her mum's like, yeah, sure, why not? And Sierra's like, no, mum, you need to say no. I don't really want to go, but I need you to be an excuse.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to go. Like, I can just be like, my mum said no, sorry. And her mum's like, what is this? Like, what's the situation going on?
And this is where Sierra kind of goes, oh, other problem. It's not just like Rachel that I'm stressed about. I also will be meeting Caleb's family if I don't go to Rachel's show.
Exactly. And her mom's like, not too sure about Caleb. Your father's also not too sure. It's just that, you know, Andrew had a bit of a chat with him.
Andrew.
Ruining ships since 2018. Or whenever this book was written.
Yes. And obviously Sierra is not happy about that, but she's like, oh, whatever, you're not helping, like, I'm gonna make this decision. And so she calls Rachel back and is basically like, okay, so I have to choose between, you know, you, my bestie from Oregon, or my knife-wielding psychopath boyfriend.
I mean, basically.
Yeah. And Rachel is not happy because Sierra actually chooses to stay in California with her family and Caleb.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Rachel just, like, hangs up the phone on Sierra. I mean, I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
But also, like, how long is the trip from Oregon to California?
I think it's a while.
Is it, like, Melbourne to where we live?
No, I think it's a bit longer than that. I think it's, like, maybe a 4-hour drive.
That's a long time to go for a play. Anyways, so I think Sierra and Caleb are chatting as they're, like, in the supermarket getting ingredients for that cookie-making situation they decided to do.
Yes.
And they end up spotting Jeremiah, and he's with his mother. I don't know, Sierra and Caleb kind of have a little bit of an awkward conversation with them, and they're like, hi. Like, you know, it's just one of those really awkward, like, what do you say to someone you don't really want to bump into?
Exactly. And Sierra has just had sort of a confrontational situation with Jeremiah, so things are a bit awkward, but no one really knows exactly why.
Yeah. And also the mother, like, hates Caleb, keep this in mind. I don't know, and I think Sierra's trying to be, like, overly nice to Jeremiah's mom, and she's like, well, you know what, you should come around, my family has a Christmas tree lot, we'll give you a discount. And she's like, bye, it was so nice seeing you and meeting you, besties for life.
Yeah.
And they head out.
Yes. And so after that, they go back to their originally scheduled plan, which is making cookies with Heather and Devon.
Cutest double date ever.
So cute. I love that. And then the next day, Jeremiah and Cassandra, who is his sister, turn up to the lot to get some Christmas trees, I guess.
They wanted that discount.
Yeah, they did. But the day before was very tense. And so obviously, right now, it's also very tense.
Yeah, and I think Cassandra ends up just saying, really worried for Jeremiah, Caleb's low-key a psychopath, and we're really just concerned about him.
Yes.
So he was like, okay, well, calm down. He's changed. People can change. That's a thing, you know. What he did in the past is not who he is now.
Yes, exactly.
And Cassandra's like, yeah, okay. And Jeremiah's like, cool. And I guess they kind of just buy their tree with a discount and leave.
Rude.
I don't think they deserve the discount, to be honest.
No, definitely not.
Mm.
So after this, Sierra's mother actually tells Sierra to talk to her dad because obviously some stuff has gone down and the dad's just weirdly against Caleb for no apparent reason. And so Sierra's talking to her dad and she's like, Dad, what is wrong? Why are you so against this? And her dad's like, we found out about the rumors about Caleb, adding on to the whole thing about this summer romance, long distance not working out.
Cough, Andrew.
Exactly. I have my doubts.
Yes. And I guess they're kind of like, I don't know, they really just discuss the dad's concerns. And Sierra's like, really, just, you don't even know him. You can't make judgments and whatnot.
Exactly. But then in the end, they kind of agree to disagree because the dinner is the next day.
Yes. So, Caleb comes to pick up Sierra for dinner, and Andrew's there, and I don't know, I think they have a little bit of, like, a awkward little glary situation.
Yeah, stand down.
Yeah, exactly. And Caleb's looking super cute, and...
he's a little nervous.
Yeah, and Sierra's like, damn, that's adorable.
Yeah.
So, they arrive at his house, and Abby and his mother are there, and they're super lovely.
Yeah, like, they're so nice.
If you didn't know about the rumors, I don't think you would have... notice that something was up with that dynamic.
No, they were super welcoming.
Yeah, exactly. And before dinner starts, Caleb's like, come up to my room. And as they're walking up the stairs, they pass Abby's bedroom door. And despite it being, like, freshly painted and whatnot, Sierra does see stab marks in the wood. And she's like, oh, damn.
Abby do have an intense looking room.
Like, I feel like maybe it's only just clicking for her now.
Yeah.
The severity of what happened. Like, obviously his story, like, I'm sure she believes him with what happened. I mean, this is physical evidence.
Yes, exactly.
And she's probably realizing now, ooh, he genuinely did that.
Yes, exactly. Scary stuff. Like, to be able to see it, even though he didn't deny it. Like, it's not like he's like, I never did it. He wasn't lying, but she's kind of just like, oh, this settles a little bit weirdly. Yeah.
Anyway, but they do end up having a nice dinner later on, and I guess Sierra's still a little bit unsettled about the door, but I think there's a mention of Abby not living with them, or something about Abby's, I don't know, I guess...
situation.
Yeah, living situation. Yeah. Something strange like that. I can't really remember exactly, but Caleb's like, okay, this is enough. Oh, Sierra, you gotta get home. Your parents are really worried about you. Ha ha ha. Gotta get you home before curfew.
Yes.
And basically just, like, shoos her out the door. I don't know, it's super tense, and we kind of work out, or get the impression, I guess, that the reason it was so tense is because the one person Caleb has not forgiven for the whole situation is himself.
Yes. So obviously that's looming over them, and I don't know, it's kind of sad. Like, I understand people make mistakes and everything, but usually the person who makes the mistake isn't, a lot of the times, the last person to forgive themselves, because they always are, like, the hero in their own story.
Exactly. And I think we can definitely give some props to Caleb for that.
Yeah, exactly. And that he's trying to make himself better.
Exactly. Like, he's acknowledged what he did was so wrong. And he's so guilty about it. Not that we're saying it's okay for you to stab someone if you feel guilty after. But, like, you know, obviously the whole thing shouldn't have happened in the first place.
No.
But at least he's acknowledging what he did was severely wrong. And he still feels remorse for what he did.
Yes, he has a conscience.
Exactly.
And so after this, Caleb and Sierra leave the house and the dinner. And they argue a little bit because I think Sierra's like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, things are in the past. Like, you need to move on. We need to start life, you know, together, but separately. Like, stuff like that. And I guess they decide to break up.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, this is it.
He's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, and she's like, neither can I, okay? Goodbye.
Slams door.
Yeah.
Catch you never.
Exactly. And I think Sierra's just so sad, and she's like, no, I just ended up with my boy. And she runs into Heather. So Heather is so happy because Devin finally gave her her perfect day.
Yeah, I think Sierra, like, looks at her voicemails, and Heather's like, he did it. He took me to, like, a nice little forest. And she's just, like, ranting about how great Devin is. And Sierra's like, I'm so glad you're so happy. That makes one of us. Exactly. It's so, I don't know, I feel for Sierra. But also, like, how was Heather supposed to know?
Yeah, exactly. It was a voicemail. Like, it wasn't like Heather's like, how was your day? And Sierra's like, actually, I'm just broken up with it. And she's like, I don't get it. Anyways, Devin. Yeah,
exactly. And then I guess, I think Caleb texts and he's like, oh, kind of regret how we left things. Can I come over? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yes. And so Sierra answers the door and behind it is Caleb with a peppermint mocha.
Yes. He's like, I need to do some groveling.
Yes.
And he basically just says that he knows he needs to sort himself out. Like, he's again acknowledging that he did something bad and he wants to fix it.
And he wants some guidance. And exactly. So he actually invites Sierra to his church, or the church that his family goes to.
I don't know if she actually goes to church with him, but I think she walks him to church.
Yeah, I think she offers to just, like, take him.
Yes. So she walks him to church, and she sees Abby again, and they're like, come with us. And she's like, it's fine, I've got stuff to do. But Abby's like, so glad Caleb didn't scare you away because he really likes you.
Yeah.
And Sierra's like, oh, that's really good because I really like him too.
I know. It's the sweetest thing when other people, like, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, he talks about you all the time. And you're like, oh my God, I think about him all the time.
That's so cute. I love, like, the cute, I guess, first love kind of situation. Yeah. I think it's so sweet.
Same. It's so cute. Anyways, and so moving on to the next morning, which is Monday, Sierra actually asks Elizabeth, who is her other bestie from Oregon, how Rachel's show went.
I guess Rachel's, like, high-key ghosting her.
Yeah.
For not coming to her performance.
She is mad about it. Exactly. Anyways, and so after this phone call, Sierra's kind of like, all right, thanks, Elizabeth. Glad things are going well for Rachel. Wish she was talking to me. But anyways, gotta go. Busy, busy day. And so she finds that her dad's super busy with Christmas and everything's just super hectic. And she's still thinking about Christmas presents now that she has an extra boy to buy for.
Exactly. And I think she's like, I know exactly what I'm going to get Caleb. She thinks he would really appreciate, remember way back when she was talking about that first Christmas tree she planted and she kept the cutting. She's like, I think Caleb would really appreciate that. It's very sentimental, very heartfelt gift.
Yes.
Such a live thing.
It is. I love it.
She's like, yeah, he needs to be gifted that.
Yes.
Done and dusted. Check. She's got her Christmas plans
sorted. Don't need to think anymore.
Exactly. Perfect.
And so the next day, Caleb's kind of making cookies at his house again. I think he's like, once I got the hang of it, I can do it many times as I want. And so he invites Heather and Abby along with Sierra.
And so I guess everyone's around, they're hanging, they're having a great time. And Jeremiah shows up at the door. High key bromance, sexual tension.
Yeah.
And I think probably what Sierra said when she was like, Jeremiah, get your act together. I think that probably rung a bell with him, and he's shown up ready to try and mend some bridges, I guess.
Yes, Caleb is so relieved and happy.
To be honest, I feel like he's the kind of guy who would, like, let a manly tear slip down his face because he's so happy.
Yes, and so they get to talk to each other, so him and Jeremiah are kind of catching up and things are warming up a little bit more. Like, it's space for progress.
Yes, and Sierra's like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave you guys chat.
Yes.
Because obviously it's much needed.
Yeah.
So off she heads and they meet up again later and Caleb's like, I found my Christmas present from my mom. Want to come with me? And Sierra's like, I beg your pardon. And he's like, would really love you to come for a little stroll with me.
Yeah.
So he takes her to the storage unit and they find a trampoline.
It's so cool.
He's like, I've been wanting one of these for ages. Come and do some bouncing with me.
Yeah, and so they do, like, little backflips and stuff, and they're just hanging around. So after they kind of mess around a little bit, they quiet down a little bit, and they're looking at the stars, which is quite romantic, and I think one of them's like, I want to hold hands. But because of the trampoline static, they kind of zap each other.
Yeah.
And at first they get a bit of a shock, and then they're like, oh, this is fun, let's have a static war.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I feel like it's totally, like, the thing when we do it all the time, my sister and I. It makes it sound so childish, but I promise you, we're both very mature young adults.
Yes.
We put on our Ugg boots and scuff along the carpet and, like, zap each other with electric shocks.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
I need to do that with my sister.
It's a lot of fun. Anyway, it reminds me of this.
But not the next bit.
No, because my sister and I do not make out.
No.
Trampolines. No. That is incest and that is bad.
No. And yeah, basically the static war turns into like a giggly, like hee 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 hee, and then the giggles quiet down and they have a little bit of a, you know, kissing session. Yeah. And obviously, this is very exciting, and the next day, Sierra is super giddy, like the whole day. And this kind of inspires her. I guess she has, like, a revelation. We don't know what it is yet. Mm. But she texts Rachel, the friend that was kind of mad at her, and is like, Rachel, I really need your help. I know that things have been rough between us lately, but I really, really need your help right now. And we kind of just get a text back from Rachel saying, like, I got you.
Yeah.
So I guess they're okay.
What a mystery.
Yeah. And so we find out that Caleb actually gives Sierra a nice little Christmas gift, and it's a silly knitted Christmas tree hat.
I think he was wearing it earlier, and Sierra was like, that is disgusting. And he's like, I know you wanted it.
Yes.
Here it is. I got it for you.
And so after this little gift exchange, I think it's like a gag gift exchange, Sierra actually gets notified that there's something for her that's been sent. And it's actually winter formal tickets from Rachel.
There's two tickets.
Yeah.
Insinuating. Sierra plus Caleb.
Yes. A plus one.
No.
Andrew's like, yes, it's me.
He would, though.
He would. Anyways, and so, obviously, they're established as, like, more of a couple now. Things are a little bit more permanent because Sierra's, like, ready to take him back to her winter formal.
Mm.
And so Sierra talks to her dad again about her relationship with Caleb, and they still argue a little, but I think Sierra realizes at the end that it's just because he's protective over her and he doesn't want her to get hurt.
And I think he realizes on top of that, like, she genuinely really likes this guy.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's dedicated
apart
to her.
Apart from the, like, knife-stabbing thing.
But yeah, but, like, that was last year.
That was in the past.
It's fine. It's fine. And he just says again, I know that you're in love. Like, you are so in love, but keep in mind, we're not coming back next year.
Yeah.
And so after this, obviously, Sierra and her dad realize that she's very deeply in love, and they're like, I don't know what to do about it, but we'll see. And Caleb's kind of just like, Sierra, come on, let's go. Let's go for a drive or something. And they're just chilling at nighttime and looking at trees, and it's just a lovely moment. And Sierra's kind of realizing, oh, this feels like home. Like, why am I going back home? This feels like home to me.
And as she kind of looks out, because they're at the top of Cardinal's Peak.
Yes.
She realizes that that first tree that she planted is missing. And she's like, this was supposed to be my tree.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, she's mourning this tree.
Yes. And so she's looking for it and she's pretty much frantic. Like, she doesn't know where it is.
Yes. And I think Caleb's like, ooh, is this it? And she turns around and there's just this fallen over tree lying down.
Yeah, she's devastated.
Yeah, but also, like, why would you cut down a tree if you're not going to take it with you?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what's the logic?
Cut the tree. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Heather. Heather's like, this is the first tree that we planted and I need to give it to her. It's not, sadly. Anyways, and so Sierra and Heather actually talk a bit about long distance and, like, the troubles with that, I guess, just, like, as a nighttime kind of ending the night texting thing.
I quite like how this book does include, like, girl relationships. Like, it's not entirely about the romance. Like, yeah. Obviously it is, but, like, there's still moments where, you know, there's still scenes where Sierra and Heather have genuine girl time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more realistic because in real life, like, girl best friends do debrief each other on everything.
Yeah.
Instead of just the girl making the decision themselves, which is a lot of books.
Mm.
Anyways, and so the next day, they go to the breakfast palace, the breakfast place, and Caleb looks really tired. And Sierra's family's there too, so they're like, you're right, buddy?
Yeah. You good?
Yeah. Anyways, and at this point, they're kind of counting down the days instead of counting, like, how many days they've been there. And it gets a little bit sad, I guess, because they're like, oh, we don't have long left.
Yeah, I guess it's really sad because they know the inevitable is going to happen. Anyway, the next afternoon, Caleb pulls up at the Christmas tree lot with Jeremiah in the passenger seat. And I don't know, he kind of just apologizes for not helping around at the farm on Christmas, I guess, because he feels like it's his obligation to help as somewhat boyfriend of Sierra.
Yeah, exactly. But he does say that he really would like to spend some more time with Sierra, especially at this little candlelight service that he and his family, I guess, attend for the church.
Yes. And Caleb's, like, about to buy the tree, because, you know, he loves buying his trees. And we find out that the baseball guys who work at the lot, remember all the ones that are, like, volunteering, actually found out what Caleb was doing and put together all of their tips and bought a tree for him to deliver to those in need.
So cute.
So sweet.
Very sweet. And it's a great day to lead on to, like, you know, Christmas and all that.
Yes.
And so then it's now the day before Christmas Eve, and we find out that Heather's kind of gotten Devon a scarf that she's knitted. I'm sure Devon would love that.
I think the kind of thing about it is she's like, I've knitted the scarf. It's really ugly. It's really gross. If I give it to him and he's like, then I'm giving him the flick. If I give it to him and he's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm going to wear it every day. I love it. Then he's the best boyfriend ever.
I love it. And she's a smart girl.
As, like, a backup, she bought him tickets to this comedy festival, I think, that he really wanted to see.
Yes, very smart. And Sierra's not really concentrating that much because while she's really happy for her friend Heather, she's also really sad because she doesn't know when she'll see Caleb again after Christmas. And so then Sierra and her family kind of just have dinner on Christmas Eve. They finally have a really nice discussion about her plans with Caleb, I guess, and just love in general. And her family really does end up supporting her on whatever Sierra chooses to do with Caleb.
Yeah, which is really nice. And they're, like, opening gifts and, you know, it's just a really nice family moment, I guess.
Yes.
And Sierra opens up a gift and it's, like, a new outfit and her mom's like, for you and your boy.
I love a considerate mom.
I love it. We love moms. Moms
your mom would people. Totally do that.
My mom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, this would look lovely on your date.
She already does that.
Yeah,
she's,
true. And we have no
she's
boyfriends.
So on the ball.
Yeah. I love your mom so much.
Anyways, so Christmas Eve, Caleb comes and picks up Sierra to go to this church ceremony. And they arrive at the church and they're like in there kind of watching the ceremony take place. And everyone's getting handed candles and whatnot and all these carolers are singing. Caleb's like, come with me, we're gonna be a little sneaky. And they leave out the back of the church, and Sierra's like, what are we doing here? And Caleb's like, give it 1 minute and you'll see. And then all of a sudden, I guess he lights both their candles, and everyone else in the church is also having their candles lit, so this church is just like, the sound of the carolers are echoing everywhere, yeah. And the church is just glowing. And
it's
they just
so nice.
Watch together, and it's a really beautiful moment.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And so after this, it's finally Christmas, which is Sierra's last day in California. And we first find out that it's really nice because Caleb and Jeremiah have finally sorted things out and they're good. So leaving things on a really good note.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when Sierra and Caleb are saying goodbye or just spending their last time together, Sierra's just tossing up whether or not to tell him that she loves him, which is a really hard thing to say, like, especially for the first time. But if you don't think you're going to see each other again, it might just be too hard to admit those feelings at that time. And she probably doesn't even know if she really loves him. You know, she got to wait and see.
I don't know. I think it would just be a very hard situation to be in.
Oh, absolutely. And so her and Caleb kind of do a final kiss or final kiss of the evening and say goodnight. And they also say, you know, Merry Christmas and everything to Heather. And later on when they're exchanging gifts, we find out that Devin actually got Heather's ugly scarf, but was like, I love it.
He did. He put it on. He's like, I'm never taking it off. Like, you know, did you make this? Oh my God, babe, that's so thoughtful of you. Yeah. I love it so much.
Yes.
And Heather's like, huh, I am pretty great if I do say so myself.
And she's also like, you really like it? And Devin's like, I love it, baby. She's like, good, because it was a joke, idiot. And he was like, oh, thank God. What did you actually get me?
And she's like, these comedy tickets. And he's like, oh, I liked the scarf better. Like, I genuinely think that Devin is the kind of guy who really, really would love that scarf.
Yes, yes.
He's sleeping in it. He's taking it to the pool with him. Like, he's never, ever being parted from it again.
It's his new blankie.
Exactly.
And now we get Heather's present for Sierra, which are tickets to go see her in Oregon.
So, yay, it's not the end for them just yet.
No, not the end for them.
To be honest, I don't ever think it would be the end for them. Like, no. They're such great friends. I think they'd find ways to see each other.
And even in adult life and stuff, like, things are so much more free. You can do whatever. But then they exchange other gifts, and Devin actually gives Heather and Caleb the Sierra candle, which is the peppermint and mocha and chocolate and all that.
I laughed so hard. Devin before was like, oh, you know, like those candles you like. In the end, he is like, yeah, I'm gonna get you those candles.
I love it. I love it.
Caleb, like, sniffs a candle and he's like, oh my God, this is definitely gonna drive me insane.
Ooh, whoop. Smexy. And Devin's like, that was not my intention, but okay. And it's time for Sierra's and Caleb's gift exchange. And Sierra actually gives Caleb the tree cutting from the original tree that she was talking about in that story from earlier.
Yes. We discussed it before.
Yes.
Caleb's like, oh my God, is this what I think it is? And Sierra's like, you betcha. And he's quite touched, I think. And in return, Caleb gives Sierra her present and it's actually cutting from another tree and it's her, that tree she cried over, the one that was cut down and it was just the bottom bit and it had like a Christmas tree painted on it, like the one that she gifted to him. Like, they're so in sync. They're both like, I'm gonna get you a tree cutting.
Yeah, right? Just like us. Yeah. We're so in sync. We both gave each other earrings. It's so cute.
Classic.
Yes. And he also gave Sierra a little necklace of a flying duck.
Because ducks are something else that goes south every winter.
Yes.
Cute.
So cute.
I love things with small meanings behind them.
Oh, yes. And no one else is going to understand it. So they're like,
it's like a little inside joke.
Yeah, exactly. And so Caleb and Sierra are obviously trying to enjoy the last few moments together. And they just kiss a little bit and spend time. And Sierra just says, I do believe in us, Caleb. And I do believe in our love. And they kind of just separate.
He's like, we out.
Yeah,
he's like, too much for me.
I don't believe in it. Goodbye.
I think it's like a bittersweet separation.
Yes. And so the next day, they're there, all packing up the lot. And Sierra just keeps on thinking about the necklace that Caleb gave her.
And Caleb in general, I think.
Yeah. And she's kind of talking to Jeremiah and just saying how sad she is.
And I think Caleb texts her and he's like, I miss you already. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not even gone yet. Come yeah. over and see me.
Yeah. And so Sierra actually goes to see Caleb and Jeremiah, the best man, actually drives her there to Cardinal's Peak.
Yes. And when she gets up there, she sees that Caleb has actually strung up all these fairy lights all over the tree farm. And it's just so beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I would cry if someone did that for me.
And Sierra's like, come to the winter dance with me, Caleb. And he's like, yeah, of course.
Aww. And then so they have a nice little kiss. And I guess they just kind of realize, like, maybe this long distance thing can work. Maybe they can survive it.
And I think they slow dance together, just kind of enjoying each other's presence. And the last line of the book is, the Christmas lights sparkle on my trees, which dance along with us in the gentle wind. That's such a beautiful last line.
It's such a beautiful last line. Dance along with us in the gentle wind.
I think it's really nice.
It's so nice. What a great ending. It gives you hope, you know?
It was such a cute Christmas book. I really enjoyed it.
It was a light read, but it was really, really pleasant to read.
Yeah, like, I easily read this in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite a short book, but I don't know, it's a bit of a feel-good book.
Absolutely.
It wasn't too hard to read. Like, it was just so, there was a little confusion with the whole stabbing the sister thing.
Yes.
But it all just flowed really smoothly. I didn't need to think too much about it. It was just a nice, happy Christmas read.
I agree. And I actually enjoyed the characters most of the time. Like, no one really stood out to me to be super annoying and that I had to try to get over the chapters for. Like,
everyone was chill.
But Andrew was like a quiet, annoying guy. Yeah. I could get over that.
So, I guess that concludes this episode reviewing What Light by Jay Asher.
Yes.
So now that that's done, it's time to announce the winner of the giveaway.
Yes, we're so excited.
Now, we've already posted the giveaway winner on our Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
However, if you haven't seen the announcement yet, the winner is
Katie Liz Reads, or at least that's her TikTok handle.
So congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. We are so excited for you and we really appreciate all the support that you give us and we really just thought that we'd give something back to you for a return.
Yes. So, another reminder, like we said at the start of episode, next week is a break week for us. However, we will be back in the first week of January doing a Q&A video.
Yes, so please send us any questions that you have, book related or not. We've really loved the book related ones and we've really liked the personal ones too. So we just can't wait to see all those entries and comments that you have for us.
Yes, so thank you so much for listening to this episode and we will see you next year.
Yes, we have so many exciting things in store for 2021 and we cannot wait to have you join us. See you next year.
Bye.